From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. You can catch us on Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul. It's late March, and the Dialogue team took a trip to Ujima Nature Retreat and Wellness Center. It's on the outskirts of Urbana, just in time for the spring equinox. The retreat is Black-owned and curated with the intention to bring healing and wellness to the Black community. Ujima founders Banyo Koroma, or BK, and his wife Chanel Koroma wanted to offer their community something that's always been here but hasn't always been utilized. Nature. The word Ujima means collective work and responsibility. In Swahili, this stands as one of the seven principles of Kwanzaa, Ujima. It emphasizes how important it is to work together, to establish and sustain a vibrant community. And that's exactly why Banyo and Chanel named the retreat center Ujima. The retreat center sits on over 7 acres of land. The center offers anyone who's visiting a chance to visit the lake, the campgrounds, there's an indoor cabin, and opportunities for the youth to plant seeds in the garden and learn more about community building. Banyo and Chanel told me about why they started Ujima.
So it was around when everything was happening, when COVID was locked down, and the George Floyd protests and the violence we were experiencing or witnessing in our communities, we saw things were getting worse. And we were pretty comfortable living our lives. And we just felt like we could be doing more. I'm a social worker. And at the time, BK was a youth
mentor.
So we started trying to figure out, like, what could we do to make a difference? We actually had an incident at the park. We were taking our kids outside enjoying nature where we used to live. We actually were in Rantoul, and it was some kids that were fighting.
You're about 10 to 12 years old.
But it was like actually like a domestic violence dispute between a girl and a boy. I couldn't tolerate it. And so I broke up the fight. The police came. It was a whole mess. And then they cursed me out. The kids did. But I'm not afraid of kids, you know. I know that these are kids acting out probably what they're seeing. And so when we went home, I just never felt settled after that. And so what I've learned, just like being a human and growing up and studying my field, when you have an emotion that you can't shake, it probably means something. So me and BK just kept talking, like, what is it that we are uniquely created and designed to do? And me and BK had already been investing in real estate. So we were like, what could we do with social work and mentoring and therapy and real estate? And we came up with a retreat center.
The work you do in the community says everything. Chanel, you're a licensed clinical social worker, and Banyo, you are a youth advocate and social services professional as well. You've really cultivated a nurturing environment for the Champaign-Urbana community where people can learn about healing, they can adopt it, grow, and flourish, all while finding what balance means in nature. After cultivating this ecosystem, you learn how to fish, kayak, and you tell people and show them what it's like to have a day at the spa, the sauna, the hot tub. You've created classes where people can garden, camp, and just so much more. What has it been like to dream of doing this and then turn your dreams into a reality?
This place is an extension of us and our work that we do in our community. One thing that I specialize in, and one problem that I tackle is violence, community violence, right? So my whole ministry is working with youth for violence prevention, right? So some root causes are poverty, but I know it's a lot of youth there. They have negative influences, and now with social media, they have so many negative role models or just negative philosophies that is being pushed on them, and that they don't necessarily get a chance to see the other side of the coin. Like, what is it like to be out of nature, or what does it feel like to actually unplug? We first started doing youth camps here. One program that I started that was very popular is something called Manhood Training Camp. What I do is I bring the boys out here and I take them camping, fishing, kayaking in nature. We do a big bonfire, do male bonding activities. But the whole key is to get them out of their toxic environments and out in a safe space in nature, and to actually be able to unplug and actually hear their thoughts and then find out who they really are. We also challenge the narratives, right? The narratives that popular culture or social media is telling them, you know, because as young black males, a lot of times we don't have too many images of what we can be. So I tell them, no, you can be anything you want to be. You could be a business owner. You can be an engineer. You can be a doctor. And a lot of it is we model behavior that we see. So if we don't see that or an example of that, it's hard for us to model that.
The 2021 National Survey on Drug Use and Health found that of the 21% of Black Americans who had a mental health concern, only 39% of them received mental health services. There's a lot of conversation in the Black community historically that therapy is not for us. And this sentiment partly comes from the long history in the United States of abuse and neglect of African Americans' health at the hands of doctors and institutions, imparting distrust in the health system for generations of African Americans. This historical context is something that Chanel brought up. She explains more about what it was like in her journey as she approached her career as a therapist, wanting to create community care outside of four walls in a building.
Working in spaces that are clinical, cold, political, you know, it's just not conducive for healing. You know, as a therapist and studying therapy in school, actually, I feel like what I was learning didn't feel natural. It felt clinical. And I'm like, you know, I don't talk like that. And people who look like me don't talk like that either. And it feels actually awkward, you know? So like trying to redefine, like, what does it mean to heal? While therapy is great, I felt like the nature component was missing, because talking to you in the office is not the same as talking to you outside. And so I just felt like, you know, that can make a big difference, just being surrounded by things that help you de-stress naturally. I want learning to be engaging. I want it to be fun and relaxing and not sterile and patriarchal and, you know, all the things that just feel unnatural. A person growing up where I grew up, finding solace in nature, it was just something that I learned to come back to. It was like, oh, this actually feels natural. Like humans, we're supposed to be in nature. And it's so funny because I talk to people sometimes and they're like, oh, I can't stand bugs. I can't stand animals or the elements. But when they come out here, it challenges what they've known. And they realize, like, you know what? I actually do like this.
Over the years, Chanel, how have you redefined healing from what you were taught and practiced versus now creating Ujima and bringing this to life and seeing how other people have been healing through this?
I think I was taught about healing through my spiritual background. You know, just God-fearing people, not even a specific, probably like in the Christian kind of realm, but not that they were religious, but they all believed in God. And so I think I was taught healing just by praying through it and being tough, you know, be strong and pray. And then when I went to college, I started learning about the brain and how to like heal the brain. And so then I was like, oh, like talking through my trauma has really healed me. And all of these things are true, you know, prayer and talking through my pain and processing it. But then like, as I matured, I started to see, I got more clarity in nature. So I'm like, is there something missing like in this dynamic in healing where like it actually happens in nature? And when you think about it, you like, it kind of makes sense like that water would be healing if you were born in an amniotic sac, you know what I mean? You get what I mean? Or that like feeling comforted or held or feeling grounded, right, to the ground, actually having awareness of your body. Oh man, this is getting kind of deep. I suffer with PTSD. And so the way I went through the world was floating. And by that mean, it's called derealization or depersonalization. So I kind of always went through my world feeling like I was detached. And I thought everybody felt like that. Then I start asking people, like, do you feel like you're in a dream? And they're like, no. I'm like, oh, like, what is this? That's when I realized, like, oh, I have something going on with me where my body won't connect with the earth. And, you know, that's usually a coping mechanism because you don't feel safe in the earth, so you detach from yourself. That's when I realized, like, oh, I need to attach to earth. Like, how do I do that? And so mindfulness and grounding, I then learned, right, like when I was in my 20s, I'm like, oh, that I can feel my feet on the ground. It sounds so, I don't know, it sounds crazy, but it's like, oh, I can feel myself in this space. I can actually connect with you instead of my body wants to run, right? So then I start realizing, like, I have to feel safe to connect in my environment in order to be present. And I realized most of my life, I never felt safe in my environment. There's no way I can ground myself in my environment and be present and while also feeling unsafe.
Lord, come down and help us out. Send us an angel, help us out. SOS, help us out. Looking all around and watching the world.
People killing, people dying, people lying, people blind. People don't see the sign, watching money all the time. Get the pennies, get the dimes, get the dollars is the mind. State of the human race, people on a paper chase. The environment is fragile, and we've been on the gradual. Declining in a lifetime, we'll lose the battle. Get burned by volcanoes, get blown by tornadoes. Cause Mother Nature signals, is trying to warn NATO. We got a new terror threat, it's called the weather. More deadlier than chemical and nuclear together. It's hotter in the winter, even hotter in the summer. Jesus or Buddha, somebody come and help.
Lord, come down and help us out. Send us an angel, help us out. SOS, help us out. Looking all around in the marginal world. Changing. Open up your eyes, you can see things are going ranging.
According to the National Park Service, there's a problem in America when it comes to diversity in both visitors and workers at national parks. This nature gap doesn't stop with the national parks, though. If we take a look back throughout history, segregation allowed for de facto and systematic racism to bar African Americans from outdoor recreation, like beaches, pools, and parks, both on local and national level. This history of not always having access to nature has led to a stereotype of Black Americans not enjoying nature or thinking, again, it's not for us. But through it all, there's also a history in America of the Black community's resilience. Communities all over the country, from the turn of the 20th century to today, fought back in ways like building community gardens, buying land, advocating for natural spaces, protesting systematic barriers, and picking up sports.
Banyo and Chanel Karoma have continued this legacy by reclaiming land here in Urbana to create a space for education and growth in the local community. For those who are just joining the conversation, the Dialogue team took a trip to the outskirts of Urbana to visit Ujima Retreat Center. Founders BK and Chanel Karoma tell us more about their efforts in healing the Black community in nature.
Around that time when we first got this place, obviously it was during COVID, and there was a lot of stress because a lot of people were isolated because of, you know, the whole quarantine. That's when we went on a journey of, let's find a space in nature that we can do our work here and heal the community, because, you know, like, even what it's not, the problem isn't just isolated, right? Especially like with me, I work with a lot of youth, and people, when I tell people I work with youth and doing violence prevention, they think I'm just taking some juvenile high risk black male and then fix them. And we don't get it twisted. I mean, a lot of our young males are at risk, right? But let's just say we pour into them, we pour medicine into them, and they're shifting their brains. What happens when they go home, right? When they leave our nurturing environment and they go back to a toxic, dangerous environment, right? So that's when we realize it's bigger than just the youth. If we want to solve this problem, it's gonna have to involve the whole family. So that's why the direction now is, as we're focusing more on family engagement, family camps, not just one child, but because we know if we can affect the household from the top down, whether it's grandma, mom, that's when you make the biggest change from the inside of the home, as opposed to just outside working in.
Because everybody's stressed.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's stressed.
People don't realize kids are stressed, right? And kids are depressed, and kids are anxious. Yeah, mm-hmm. And so are adults. And when we stress, we don't think about like, how do you act when you're tired? Okay, so giving people time to rest. We're working so hard. Even the kids are working hard. Not even just like schoolwork, but the mental work. To walk into a school every day based on how you feel when you walk in that space.
At first, we didn't realize how big of a deal this was until we had a black contractor come before we did the construction. And he said, when he came out here, he said, I didn't expect you to come out the door. I expect some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Colonel Sanders, a guy with a gray mustache, come out and say, get off my land, you know? And so he said the fact that black people owning this land, that's already a big statement in itself, right? That message kept coming, and then people were saying, like, you know, it's just you guys owning this property is inspiring us to follow our dreams. And you know, and now we feel like a lot of our people suffer from limiting beliefs. So by exposing them to what's possible, we feel like we inspire people to pursue their own dreams and their own callings. Like Chanel, I'll tell you, we get people come here and say, you know what, I want to start this, or I want to start a venue here where a dance studio, or I want to build a school right here, or just having free space. People can explore like what their deep underlying dreams and purposes are, right? So we like the fact that we can inspire a lot of other African Americans or just minorities, period, to dream and think bigger.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just opening your brain up to the possibilities. And I feel like one of the challenges is that what we're doing, I don't know if it's not done before, but people get confused because it's not what we're used to, or it's not what hasn't been built for us. And so we're building something that we feel makes sense. I just feel like reclaiming nature, period. Mm-hmm. We took ourselves away from it, I think, because of trauma. And like reclaiming, I don't even look at it as a space, it's just reclaiming nature. So when people come here, it's like, oh, I thought I had to move to Mississippi mm-hmm. to get 7 acres or something like that. It's like, no, actually every city center has a suburb that has a country, y'all. So like, you don't have to stay in being afraid of the country. Reclaiming mm-hmm. the country mm-hmm. is also like radical. Country living mm-hmm. is radical in itself. And so when we live here on this land, people think you're supposed to farm. And we don't farm, right? We do garden, which is, some people call it a micro farm. But it's like, even being creative in that way, like, we are creative people. Things that are healthy for us, regardless of our past history.
Yeah.
And I found that living here feels safer for me, psychologically, emotionally. And giving people the opportunity to know that they have that access too. Like if your neighbors, everywhere we moved, we always had racist neighbors. Everywhere we moved, we always had racist neighbors. We moved, I'm talking about Champaign-Urbana area in Rantoul. We moved, what, maybe 4 times?
Yeah, from Champaign.
And each time we had a neighbor, we was like, we cannot live, we cannot keep it. It's stressful. It's stressful to think this person is skeptical of me. They want to call DCFS, but I'm a whole social worker. The microaggressions that you always are exposed to, offering my husband a janitorial job. I'm like, honey, we own like 3 of these houses. Oh, I thought he might want this job. I'm like,
and there's nothing wrong with janitorial jobs. I mean, if anyone out there, if you want to start your own janitorial company or business, it's very lucrative, right? So.
Yeah,
but she's saying as far as the context. Yeah.
The context is that's what she saw, correct. And then that was always being projected on us, limiting beliefs, and it's like, you know, I don't know if I feel supported. Mm-hmm. So like just moving in a place where I can just be with myself, be with my thoughts,
have no neighbors.
It was like reclaiming that.
Chanel and BK showed me around the land and what's featured at Ujima. A heads up, it was a little windy, so you can hear it in the audio.
So when you said you were looking for property and acres that had water on it, to find this beautiful, like, we're staring at a beautiful body of blue water. Yeah. What did it feel for you to first come here
and you saw the water. Like, this was your dream, tangible, right in front of you.
Actually, it was even more of a blessing than we even thought it was. When we saw this water, we just saw water. But then when we learned that it's actually spring fed, that means it's actually natural water. And water coming from the ground, and it naturally feeds itself. So the pond is very healthy. So, like, you can swim in it. If you sterilize it, you can drink it. So we were like, oh my gosh, we like hit a jackpot. We didn't even know, because we're not from the country. We're not natural, you know, we're not environmentalists. We didn't even know, like, we had got something that was really special. So more than it just being water, we was able to be like, oh, like, this is not just like a fabricated pond, like the ones you might be experiencing. Yeah. It's like, it's an actual natural pond, and it brings so much natural life here. So, like, we have bullfrogs and turtles and cranes and herons.
Yeah.
And we didn't even expect to lily pads. Like, oh. Yeah.
Well, when we bring the kids out here, I have to teach them the importance of, like, eco-conservatism and like, the biodiversity. So we teach them the importance of why not to litter. Because we teach them it's a whole green ecosystem. Everything eats each other. So when you throw poison in the ground, someone's going to eat that. And then before you know it, it contaminates the pure spring-fed pond. And then we've had fishermen come out here and they say, oh man, these are some of the biggest bluegill I've ever had, I've ever caught, you know, and these guys go all the way to Minnesota, Wisconsin, and we feel like because of it's a natural ecosystem, that all the eco in their life, they're able to grow bigger and be healthier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then your brain starts shifting. You're like, oh my gosh, I think we've been playing this game. Yeah, we've been playing it wrong. Like, all of that, whoever owns that, that's wealth. The land behind us, they're like farming it. Yeah. Somebody told you yesterday, what did he call it? He said it's like the farmland is like owning gold.
It's like the new gold.
Like, we're just learning this? His family is farmers. So he was kind of telling us about the wealth in farming.
This reclaiming of natural spaces has yielded tangible results for the people that have come through the doors of Ujima.
I spoke with Chanel and BK Karoma from the Ujima Resort in Urbana about some of the biggest changes they've seen within their clients.
So as a therapist, I also do therapy on the grounds, right? So I was talking about how the environments can be cold. And so we did like kayaking as a way to help with anxiety. And before we even got in the kayak, the person almost had a panic attack because it was a spider. And they don't like spiders. So, and I've known them for a while. I knew they didn't like spiders. I'm like, I'll take the spider out, whatever. So we kayak. They're like freaking out a little bit. They didn't tip over. But it was a seed that was planted just from the kayaking. This person is a very successful in their career. They took like the corporate route. And the interesting thing is, like, just being in nature started to challenge the direction that they were going. And it also started to decrease their anxiety because they were having more exposure to anxiety that was in nature. This is a person who was scared to be out, was afraid to be outside. The success is they started by joining a biking club. Then they joined the hiking club, and then they started cross-country skiing. I was like, wow, this sounds like a whole new person. And then they started a garden on their balcony because they live in the city. Then they decided to move out of the city to the suburbs, not the country. And then this is the most thing that was most radical to me. They decided to take a demotion in their job so they can actually pursue healing in their life actively. Because she's an attorney and she was very, very stressed, a very stressful job. And she was like almost, she was like at the high level Supreme Court, but it was too stressful. And she's like, you know what? I'm just gonna go back down. And she took a job, like her entry level job, so just so she could have energy, time and space to not be so anxious and stressed all the time. And I thought that was amazing. So now when I talk to her, I'm just so shocked. I'm like, this is like a whole new person. Like, oh, I'm getting back from my marathon. I'm like, what? And she doesn't have panic attacks anymore.
So it was a mother. She came out here. She saw her kids running around, have fun. Even the dad was running, chasing. They had a race outside with the kids, laughing. And you can see, you can visually see her stress come off her body, like just drop. And she asked, she says, is that a hammock right there? Is it okay if I sit in? We're like, yeah, go ahead. She's like, all right, you know what? Can I start coming here more often? I'm like, yeah. She's like, you know, at the end, she was like, if you see a random car just parked there, it's me just coming out here, just enjoying the space, right? And we knew that was powerful because we know that, you know, based on our background, she lives in a high stress environment, multiple kids. There's bullying going on with one of her sons, you know. So just seeing that, the feeling of de-stress.
Whether you're incorporating camping or afternoon walks into your life, studies have shown that exposure to nature can improve sleep, cognitive function, and mental and physical health. Yet with all the responsibilities of life, it can be hard to start new routines. So I asked Chanel and Banyo what advice they would give to folks who feel like they need more balance in their life.
You know, life is challenging. Naturally, it is. And I think my message would be is like not to strive as much. The waves, you want to be with the currents. You get what I mean? And when you're with the currents, it makes life easier. But sometimes I feel like we're swimming against what's natural. In your lifestyle that you have right now, if you feel like you're working really, really, really hard, there's probably some changes that need to be made. Maybe not even like in your moving to the country, but like even in your household, like going to a more simple, more minimalistic approach to life. An example would be like laundry. If you feel like I hate laundry, you might just have too many clothes. You get what I mean? So just starting to simplify life and trying to get back to the essence of what it feels to feel good in your own life and to know you have control over that.
You know, I teach, whether it's youth or older males, but to make sure, like you said, like if you're feeling stressed out, like you should probably stop and assess what's going on right now. She said, don't strive. I wouldn't say don't strive. I would just say, make sure you're striving for the right thing, right? So like if your goal is to have a healthy family, right? Or a healthy marriage, right? You can't be focusing on multiple things at the same time. If you're focusing on your career or getting the biggest promotion, the most amount of money, something's going to fall in the cracks. So you're going to neglect something, whether it's quality time with your wife, quality times with your kids. So Chanel kind of mentioned a minimalistic approach. I'd say try to regain balance, right? And balance might mean like eliminating certain things, right? A lot of times we're overcommitted. Learn how to say the word no. Which is big even for myself, because you know I want to save the world, I want to save everybody, but I say slow down and then refocus, get clarity on your own goal and vision for not just yourself, but for your family. Make sure that you find yourself first before you jump into relationships, or also make sure you're constantly assessing, doing like a mental check, right? Like a self-check. Like I always say, like look in the mirror, right? Like do a spiritual check, right? If you believe in a higher power, do a God check, right? And if you have a partner, please start working with your partner, your wife, your husband, and consult each other, right? Because if you're feeling something and then your husband's feeling the same thing, that's a great sign that probably something you need to focus on, right? So, and make sure it's real. Whatever you're pursuing, make sure it's real, authentic, and make sure you're doing it for you. Because, you know, in this world, it's all about keep up with the Joneses, external validation, social media, right? Getting clout. So, you know, just try to unplug and clear the noise and just get back to who you are and what you're supposed to be doing.
Chanel Karoma and BK Karoma, thank you both so much for your incredible wisdom and what you're doing for the community.
Thank you. It's our pleasure, and thank you for interviewing us.
Yeah, thanks.
After visiting Ujima and learning more about what it means to create sanctuary for community, planting seeds together, seeking balance, and remembering that we don't need to do this work alone, there are communities out here waiting to embrace, build, and grow together was inspiring. Through their work, Chanel and Banyo wanted to remind their community that reclaiming land and your relationship with nature can not only be empowering, but having the freedom to buy land is almost worth more than gold.
To learn more about Ujima, you can find a link on our website at will.illinois.edu/dialogue.
The Dialogue team wishes you all an official happy spring season as the seeds of community begin to sprout, bloom, and blossom. For Dialogue, I'm Kennedy Vincent.